Pickaxe.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long-forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season, or arc, has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
Hello, you are listening to the podcast of this week's One Life Left radio show. I'm Simon Byron.
I am Steve Curran.
And we are joined as well by super special guest Adam Avatar. Thank you for joining us on the show, Adam.
Lovely to be here, gentlemen. You've only become more charming with time.
I think you thought that your work here was done, because I did note that when the credits rolled and the theme played, you started drinking from a can of soft drink. Unfortunately, Leo's quite right, actually. The cameras, I couldn't even make out what that was.
Red Bull Winter Edition, the finest edition of Red Bull available outside of Austria, where they still have Red Bull Simply Cola.
Oh, look, so now we're in the podcast section of the show. That sort of endorsement is fine. So you're not going to be hauled over the coals for that.
It's to be encouraged, in fact, because any brand you mention, there's every chance they'll send us some money.
Well, guys, I'm not sure I'm allowed to do this.
Perfect.
But we were sent last week our Pickaxe podcast report, which we get every month. And so I thought I'd discuss it with you here.
Do you want a drum roll?
I mean, it's absolutely not worth it, but sure. Guys, September, we made a total of £39.29. Steve, how much does it cost us to run Riverside FM?
It costs us $30 a month, I think.
Oh, we're in the money.
Hello, that's profit. That's raw profit.
It is pure profit. Let me break this down for you.
Okay,
we made £26.54 in dynamic ads. Mm-hmm. Don't know what they are, but they sound dynamic. Mm-hmm. And we got £12 for the Beer 52 advert that everybody was complaining about when you try and cancel. So that's good, isn't it? That comprises our revenue. Anyway, there's a section here. Now, bear in mind, so that was only for two episodes in September, I think, because we were all over the place. So, you know, do more episodes, get more cash. How do we feel about that? How does that compare with your podcast, Adam?
Gosh, I don't see any of the profits. I don't see any of the profits from Slow Pit Stop. I think they're all going to Manchester.
What's your EBITDA?
I think to hearken back to the old days of Simon Byron, what did you just call me?
Well, so on our podcast report that we get every month, this covers September, there's a little box out that says upcoming opportunities. And I'd like to discuss these with you. And perhaps, Adam, you can give us your opinion as someone who runs a seemingly more successful podcast. It says a trailer can help convert people who've come across who've been recommended the podcast without them having to listen to a whole episode. God, imagine that. If they listened to a whole episode, they'd realise we're not worth listening to, wouldn't they? The advice here, this could be similar to the promo you have already made, but it would be good to include Steve if possible, and can be longer. What should we do? Trailer. Adam, how would you conduct a trailer for One Life Left?
Gosh, you know, the trailers generally for podcasts, I only listen to so that they'll go into the bin of things that are not new anymore, so I don't get the alerts. If I had to do it, what would I do? I'd probably lean heavily on the excellent music. I've always loved all of the music and interludes in One Life Left.
The music is the one thing we've cut from the show.
Yeah, so.
Well, I don't mean the chip let's tunes. Just, I mean the, I mean
play the
proprietary music.
Okay.
But,
okay.
So an hour.
our Pickaxe reps go on to say, do you guys have a Patreon or other way for listeners to directly support the podcast? You have a strong following and could boost your revenue by setting one up. Let's get a patron. It says, you could easily reward supporters by giving a simple shout out in your normal episodes and not have to make any extra content. Mm-hmm. I like the sound of that.
I like that. That's really good, isn't it? Because we could just read out a list of names. Like,
for money.
For money. I'd do that right away.
That's pretty common, actually. Yeah, I find that a lot of video game podcasts have that at the end now. So
now,
that's a no-brainer.
We can't be bothered to set up a Patreon. So could we just read out our sort code and bank account and ask people to pay it in and then we'll read them out?
Yeah.
That goes in the trailer right there.
If you use the, you know how when you make a bank transfer, you get that sort of 12 character spot to sort of illustrate what it's for. Whatever you want to put in those 12 characters, we will read out anything.
Well, there we go. Yes. Okay. Well, let's work on that. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the 40 quid. I hope you're enjoying the adverts and the beers. We are genuinely grateful for your support. And to show our thanks, here's this week's show.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to One Life Left on Resonance 104.4 FM. We're a video game radio show. My name is Steve Curran.
Hello, I'm Simon Byron.
Hi, Simon. It feels like you almost forgot where you were for a moment.
Do you know what? I was trying to find an email. That's what I was doing.
Good. Get your admin out of the way early.
Well, it was something I'm going to mention during the podcast intro, actually.
Okay.
So, but I thought, that's handy when you're being broadcast on radio.
It's perfect. How are you?
I'm doing okay, thank you. I am. I'm a bit tired. It feels like the year's sort of dragging on, doesn't it? And but looking forward to the show, Steve. Nice to see you.
It's nice to see you too. Yeah, it's been an exhausting week for me for various reasons, some of which we will talk about later on the show. I've been to three countries, including this one.
How many countries are there?
I think it's like, it's more than 12.
Right. So you've been to a quarter.
I can name them off the bat. Simon Byron's Fast Five. Name five countries.
I almost did a joke there that I could only do on a podcast as well. I could name a lot more than five.
Very good. So we're a video game radio show. We're going to be talking about video games. Today, I have played some games. Have you played some games, Simon?
I've played two games, Steve.
We have at least one letter, which I slightly prompted when we were in the conversation on the Discord about something else. I said, can you just put this in the letters section? It'll make a good letter. So that section's dealt with. We do have a guest as well, which we'll get to in a second. And we've also, do we have some news? Do you have some news?
I've got the news, Steve. Don't you worry about that.
I've got a couple of news stories as well. So it looks like we'll be very busy today.
Why? What's with all the preamble then?
Just filling, Simon. You've been doing it for 17 years. You've got to break out of the habit now.
Steve, do you usually broadcast with your hands behind your head? This is a new position for you.
Just feeling quite relaxed today. No, I've decided to. Listeners who haven't been with us for the whole of lockdown may not know that we are recording remotely. We've got a virtual studio at the moment, and we've just moved into the virtual studio, which affords us all kinds of things, like the ability to have guests, which is very, very exciting. But also, it means I've become a little bit more relaxed about my setup. I'm just talking into a laptop, and I actually have the laptop on my lap right now.
Wow.
Never done that before. Usually have it balanced somewhere, have it, talking to it, but today. So yeah, feels a bit more relaxed. Maybe that's coming across in my tone.
You have a child now, though, don't you? So you can take risks.
What? Because what we have
the hot laptop on your on the current bits.
I thought you were talking about like One Life Left's inheritance protocol. It's all right. Like if I pop off for whatever reason, then you still got a Curran Jr. to present the show with.
Well, she's already a fan favorite, isn't she?
She is, and we will have another feature from her coming up after the news.
Looking forward to it. But listen, it's not just you and me here this evening. I'm delighted to be joined by someone we've not heard from for many, many years. New Pickaxe podcast subscribers will be unaware of this person's history, One Life Left history, but we will cover all that shortly. But it's Adam Avatar. Hello and welcome back.
Hey, equally delighted to be here.
Adam, have you ever done a show live?
Have I ever done a show live? I don't think so.
Well, this is a first. Done a show live. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you on. You're joining us all the way from Toronto.
That's right. Toronto. Well pronounced.
You're welcome. You said I used to spend a lot of time there. Good to have you on the show. Delighted to hear you back and to see you back. I don't think I've seen you before.
I mean, perhaps we have each other on Facebook, so there's maybe that, and that's about it. So I've never seen you in live video, that's for sure. We've never shaken hands. Shaken Steve's hands at a pub meetup back when we used to do those. One Life Left Christmas party, I think.
Oh, Simon doesn't go to those.
Yeah.
Simon's too important. Again, part of the One Life Left protocol, we can never actually be in the same room anymore.
That's right. Shook Derek's hand at that time. And Craig's.
So yeah,
the Adam old was, gang.
The old
Adam
gang.
Was part the old of the gang. Old gang when we used to have right. more regular features on the show. And what with the advent of Alice now doing her game design section, we're going to bring some of those back. But it's really good to have you on the show, Adam.
It's great to be here.
Good.
Having the band back together is just wild. 2009 to 2012, I think, was the duration of my contribution.
Wow.
And a wonderful, one presumes, coincidence that was the year that we won the GMA for Best Broadcast/Podcast. So you got to love it.
We've not won it since, and you've not been on since. This is our year again.
That's right.
We'll come to you shortly. But before then, we've got the important matter of the news. It's 7:06 on Monday, the 21st of November. I'm not Anne Scantlebury, but this is the news. I'm just going to qualify this by saying, but this has been written by VideoGamesChronicle.com, and I'm just reading it out. So if there are any inaccuracies or any legal problems, blame them, okay? Former Sonic team head and Sonic the Hedgehog programmer Yuji Naka has reportedly been arrested in relation to the ongoing Square Enix insider trading investigation. Japanese news site FNN Prime Online reports, I see that Video Games Chronicle is also doing the blame game, reports that Naka is now the latest suspect in a case regarding insider trading surrounding a new Dragon Quest game. On Thursday, two former Square Enix employees were arrested in Tokyo as part of a suspected insider trading scheme. Tatsuyaku Sasaki and Fumiaka Suzuki were arrested for acquiring stock in Japanese developer Aiming shortly before it was announced that it was working on a new Dragon Quest game. The two reportedly purchased around 47 million yen, which is $336,000. They don't say how many pounds that is, of stock in Aiming just before it was publicly confirmed it was developing a mobile title, Dragon Quest Tact. Now, according to FNN, the Tokyo District Public Prosecutor's Office Special Investigation Department has also arrested Naka for similar potential infringements. It's not been a great couple of years for Yuji Naka, has it?
It hasn't. What was the most recent story on One Life Left? Was it about him?
He went on Twitter.
He did, didn't he? Didn't he post that photo with some people blocked out of it as well?
He did, yeah.
Mm.
And he'd erased the shares that he'd been buying from the photo as well. Or the news, the insider news. reportedly.
At least that's a joke that Video Game Chronicles might have made, reporting on a joke that someone else might have made, allegedly. Doesn't sound great, assuming any of this has any basis in fact, which we don't know, because we're reporting on something that someone else is reporting from someone else, as is the way in video game journalism. More concrete news, Simon. I've stopped playing Sonic Frontiers.
Okay, what? Because you're disgusted?
No.
With the allegations?
Well, because it's... we talked about this last week on the show, and I was very much on the fence about it, right? Hedging my bets. I was kind of playing this thing, but I was aware it's very janky all over the place. I'm not sure it's great, but I'm playing it. I decided it's not great.
Okay.
And I got to World 2, and you were like, oh, wait until you get to World 2. I've heard it really, really, you know, changes everything. Well, have you got to World 2?
No.
No. It doesn't change everything. It's a spoiler warning. It's a desert.
Okay. That's not what I was expecting.
No.
I did realise when I was reading this story out that, for a sort of light-hearted take on the news, it's probably not the best story to open with. And equally, it's problematic when we have guests in the studio, because normally I try and link the stories to the guests. And so, Adam, have you ever done insider trading?
Now I'm thinking about it, because clearly all eyes will be on Yuji Naka, so this is the time to strike. Surely there can't be two insider traders at once.
No.
I wouldn't have, no. I
don't think it's allowed.
No, absolutely not. Not the story, but your discussion of the game made me wonder, is it legally required for every second world to be a desert world? What is going on with that? Does it also have that kitschy sort of, like, you know, rip-off Arab kind of music as well as soon as you get there?
I can't recall, also, because by then the music track, which we talked about last week as well, is kind of weird in the background. I long since muted. Hmm. So I don't know. All I know is it was definitely didn't make me want to continue playing, and neither did seeing Knuckles imprisoned in exactly the same way Amy was, and now find these kinds of tokens. And it struck me that I was just playing, well, it's all, I don't want to turn this into a review section, but it is kind of like Assassin's Creed, in that after a while you just find yourself sweeping up dots on the map, proceeding from one to the next and tidying the landscape using mechanics. Long since grown bored of. 7 out of 10.
So the sequel will be amazing. Understood.
Crystal Dynamics has claimed that its co-development work on Xbox Perfect Dark Reboot is progressing extremely well. That's according to Crystal Dynamics and Eidos CEO Phil Rogers, who provided an update on the project during parent company Embracer's group earnings call on Thursday. It was announced in September 2021 that Xbox has signed Crystal Dynamics to co-develop Perfect Dark, which is the debut game from Microsoft's new in-house studio, The Initiative. We're working on the iconic Perfect Dark game, and the project is going extremely well, Rogers said today, transcribed by VGC. What's been so promising internally is seeing how our team took on this opportunity, a new way of working. If we think about the future of how we work, collaboration across studios, across time zones, across geographies, across different companies will all become more common. So it's great to see the team at The Initiative and our team at across Crystal Studios working so well together. I picked that story, Steve, because it's just struck me that the Sega Super game idea is clearly contagious to anyone who's being asked how their game's going. Hey, Crystal Dynamics, how's it going? Oh, it's going extremely well. It couldn't be going better.
It's going to be a super game. Whole world's going to play it. The end. Are you a Perfect Dark fan, Simon?
I'm not, Steve, no.
Me neither. I don't really get it. Like, my memory of that period and that game is Perfect Dark was an attempt to recapture the magic of GoldenEye in a new franchise. And it sort of worked because people were excited about playing GoldenEye again, but it never really fully became the thing that GoldenEye was, and subsequently all sequels to Perfect Dark have felt, you know, again, pale imitations of what was less successful than the original. So I don't know what people in the modern era are expecting to get from a game that was, I don't know, maybe a landmark of first-person shooters, but first-person shooters 25 years ago.
If it was truly in keeping with the spirit of the original, you would also need to upgrade your RAM in order to get the most from it, wouldn't you?
I don't know how many people are excited about Perfect Dark in 2022.
Phil Rogers is.
Okay. Adam, are you excited about a new Perfect Dark?
Couldn't hurt. I mean, I'd prefer no one lives forever, but should be fine. I think I'm required to say yes, the same way that they are required to say everything's going well. I remember when I used to live in the UK, I don't know if it's still like this, in England at least, the salutation was, "You all right, mate?" Mm-hmm. "All right, mate." And you have to respond with, yeah, fine.
Yeah.
You're not really allowed to say that you're not all right. So I assume that this works the same way.
Fine.
Scalper bots are gradually starting to lose interest in the PlayStation 5, a report by a bot detection specialist has suggested. Netacea has published its quarterly index on the top 5 products targeted by scalper bots, this time covering the third quarter of 2022. For the first time since it was released, the PlayStation 5 no longer appears among the list's top 3 positions. However, it does still sit at number 4, suggesting it remains an important target for bots, even if its value is slipping slightly. Scalper bots are designed to find products as soon as they're added to a website and then buy them quicker than a human is able to, allowing a scalper to easily acquire stock they can then resell at a higher price. According to Netacea's chart, the top 5 items targeted by scalper bots between July and September 2022 were... Okay, guys.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm just interested to see whether you have any... Just, I want to see how alike you and the bots are.
Taylor Swift tickets.
Nope.
I mean, they are. They should be. That's the thing this week, isn't it?
Is through until September.
Okay, they're not Taylor Swift tickets. All right. Oh, graphics cards, obviously. Graphics cards.
No, so these cover everything.
Aren't graphics cards part of everything?
I'm afraid that they're not.
Okay.
They don't appear to be.
All right, fine.
I mean, if they are things, they aren't in the top 5 things.
About tickets to K-pop concerts?
It's not tickets to K-pop concerts because you can't wear those on your feet, can you? What you guys appear to be disinterested in are Adidas Yeezy Slidebone.
That was actually what I was going to say.
Number one.
It's going to be my next guess.
Okay, and then at number 2 is the Nike Dunk Low Panda.
Yep, that one.
Okay, sure. I've heard about this culture.
Number 3...
Hi, Panda.
And this is Panini Donruss Optic Football Trading Cards. What are they?
No idea.
No idea, but they're very desirable. I'm going to have a little quick Google of that while we're having a chat. And then finally, I've lost the window because I moved it. Here we go. PlayStation 5 and 4, as we discussed. Finally, top 5. Jordan 1 Retro Low OG UNC. Or Unk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds to me we need to get into the shoe game. Adam, do you wear shoes?
I've been known to. Now that I spend more time doing surgery than living any sort of meaningful personal life, I have essentially something akin to Crocs with a little heel called Calzuros.
Ooh,
do they fancy. Count? They're footwear, but are they shoes?
Can we scalp them?
You should try. Should definitely try.
FIFA 23's lengthy meta may be over as players have noticed an undocumented change to player pace in the latest FIFA 23 update. I'm just going to pause my news story reading here. Again, obviously all stories are from videogameschronicle.com. We thank them for their work. This story's for you, Steve, because I read it and I didn't understand any word of it.
Perfect.
And that therefore I thought that you could explain as our resident FIFA 23 expert.
All right, continue.
Start again. The update, which has rolled out across consoles today, has increased the pace of explosive and controller players, making them significantly faster than the lengthy player, which had previously dominated the FIFA 23 meta. Tall and strong players, such as Erling Haaland, had previously been extremely popular and effective in the game due to the Accelerate system, on current generation consoles. However, players are now reporting that these taller players are less effective. The FIFA Ultimate Team market has responded as faster players have shot up in value, whilst foot players attempting to unload their lengthy player. So while foot players attempt to unload their lengthy players for cheap. You can read the full patch notes below. However, EA didn't list the changes to the accelerate system. So it's possible that it's a mistake that will be rectified in the future. Steve, were you involved in the lengthy meta when you were playing FIFA?
Well, I've never played it online. So none of this has been important to me. And I don't know that any of these things, I don't know any Stockport players are tall enough for this to apply to. I don't know if they're part of the lengthy meta.
Okay, I'm guessing not then.
I didn't realize Stockport players were literally stocky. That's actually required.
That is very good. Huh? Very good. I'm not good enough at FIFA to understand any of these. I think I mentioned on the show last week that I have found my play improved since I, you know, was playing the World Cup mode and playing as England rather than Stockport, and everything did seem easier. But my analysis, unfortunately, stops at England are better than Stockport. That's where I am.
Fair enough. Should we run through the other changes just to see if you spotted them?
Yeah.
I mean, have you noticed that they've reduced the accuracy of outside the foot shots by up to 30%?
Nope.
There's a caveat to that, Steve. As you probably noticed, players with the outside the foot shot trait in capital letters are also impacted by this change, but only by up to 10%.
Ah, that explains. Actually, all of my players have that trait.
Have you noticed that the consistency of the ball roll skill move, capital letters, mm-hmm. in first-time situations has been increased?
How do you do the ball roll skill move?
I don't know, Adam.
I only kind of rolling I do is playing Formula One all the time, so I couldn't say for sure.
If it's
okay,
if it's just hitting X, then yes, I've noticed it. If it's any other button, then no.
Okay, you may have noticed that this issue's been addressed, that after making a tackle, the ball could sometimes be knocked away further than intended. I mean, how far did you intend it to be knocked?
Never. Didn't want it knocked at all. The ball does keep rolling away from me. So I've noticed that. Is that a bug?
It is a bug no longer.
Okay, great. Cool, good.
Really play as the Glasgow Rangers, and presumably they always use the skill move by default.
Yes, certainly. Definitely.
They say that they fixed this, but if I played it, it wouldn't be the case. It says in some rare situations, a player can incorrectly fail to control the ball when receiving a pass. In some cases, a player's legs did not animate correctly whilst jumping. the caveat is this was a visual issue only.
Ah, fine then.
Okay, don't worry about it. It didn't affect the sound.
Good. All right. Well, thank you for updating me there, Simon. I'll let you know if I notice it in future weeks. Do we have any more news stories?
We can do. It's up to you.
Yeah, let's do another one.
Microsoft's head of gaming has stated he's open to making a commitment to Sony and regulators. I'll start that again.
All right. Ready?
Go. Microsoft's head of gaming has stated he's open to making a commitment to Sony and regulators that Call of Duty will stay on PlayStation on a longer-term basis than currently agreed. Speaking on The Verge's Decoder podcast, Phil Spencer explained that he was open to making a commitment that would make Sony and global regulators happy as Microsoft continues to await approval for its proposed acquisition of Activision Blizzard. The idea that we would write a contract that says the word forever in it, I think, is a little bit silly, Spencer said. But to make a longer-term commitment that Sony would be comfortable with, the regulators would be comfortable with, I have no issue with that at all.
Never say forever.
Well, if I was Sony, I'd go, okay, well, let's just put forever minus a day.
A million years, then.
Exactly.
What's okay with you? You're right, forever would be silly. Who knows? But what about 1,000 years? What about 100?
1,000 years.
What about 10 days? There's a number there that will be acceptable, and it won't be forever. And I suspect it won't be longer than, what do you reckon, 3 years?
I was going to say 3 years, yeah.
When you win for life in Canada, you get 25 years worth of cash, which is not a lifetime by any reasonable estimation. So forever must be what? 53? years or so.
Doesn't it depend when you win it? I mean, I would say I almost certainly don't have 25 years left.
Do we need to start counting down the seasons of One Life Left rather than counting up?
Exactly.
We're on season 17 of 25 of 40 or something.
Oh, let's make it a little higher than that, please.
Well, you started it.
I'd like to see. I want to make sure my family are all okay, Steve. I want to make sure that they're happy adults.
All right. 45. I don't know. So this does not affect me in any way at all because I have not played a Call of Duty game, I think, since the very first one. But it is a big deal, isn't it? Because we know what sort of sway that has over the sort of people who play on and buy consoles. What do you think Sony's response is to this beyond calling the cops?
Well, send over a contract. Surely, that's what you'd do, isn't it? Well, go on then.
Yes. Yeah, put your money where your mouth is. Yeah, but not forever. Not forever.
That would be silly.
Any more news?
That's it, Steve. There's something about Dragon's Dogma, but I can't be bothered with it.
Thanks, Simon.
One Life Left video game news with Anne Scantleberry.
Hey all, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
Hello, my name is Alice and I'm a game designer and this is One Life Left.
Alice, what game are you going to design for us this week?
This week I'm going to design the running floor game.
The running floor game? Yeah. Tell me about the running floor game.
So, it was in Croatia and I was playing it. So, I was trying to pop the bubbles, squeeze rabbits, trap pigs, and what else was I trying to do?
Okay, well, let me just stop you there. This is a game that already exists, isn't it? This is a game that you played while we were on holiday.
Yeah.
So it's not a game you've designed.
Yeah.
But you could take that game that you've played and you could come up with your own version of it. Yeah, that's kind of what designers do. So you take someone else's game and you go, oh, that's good, but this game would be better if we did this. So how would you make the running floor game better?
By taking it and then putting more videos in it.
More videos in it. What kind of videos?
The ones that have people in it.
So this is a game where there's a projection from the ceiling and you run around and you tread on bubbles and footballs and mayonnaise packets and that kind of thing. But instead of that, you want the player to tread on videos of people.
Yeah.
Who are the people we're going to tread on?
Who's asking?
I'm asking.
Who's asking?
I'm asking right now for the radio show.
Cats.
So you're going to tread on cats, not people.
No, cats are going to tread on people.
Of course, right, okay. So cats are going to be the players. They're going to tread on videos of which people? Who are the cats going to tread on?
You.
Right, so your pitch for this game is it's a video projection from the ceiling and cats run around on a video of me. Is that right?
Yes.
How do the cats score points?
Stabbing when you really hard.
What would you give the game out of 10?
7 out of 10.
Why do you think it gets 7 out of 10?
Because it's really, 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 really happy game.
It's a happy game. It sounds like a happy game. Anything else you'd like to say about the running floor?
No, Bo.
Is that it?
Yes. Goodbye. Happy Christmas.
Thanks, Alice. I had to cut part of that this week because she started talking about how it was a Peppa Pig license that she had acquired for £3. And I asked her if she had, and she said, yes, absolutely. And I thought, oh.
This is insider trading.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was the fourth of One Life Left's next generational features. Fourth in the series. I've got episodes 5 and 6 in the can already.
Oh, no wonder you're broadcasting with your hands behind your head, Steve.
Cocky. Have you got guests lined up for next week and the week after?
I haven't checked my emails yet, Steve.
Well, you've got one this week, and that's all that matters.
Adam, thank you so much for joining us. So, could you bring so we've moved, we've been going for a long time, and we recently have
we're over
just
halfway
had an...
there.
That's right.
That's not true, Steve. We're a third of the way through. Come on, fraction of the way through. It'd be awful if I do go soon, Steve. You're going to regret this.
I know. We'll do a nice tribute.
And you'll have no guests unless you log on to my emails.
Sorry, which we all know is impossible.
We've been going for a while, but we've recently moved to a new podcast hoster. So that has brought with it a new audience who'll be unaware of you and your award-winning feature, Adam. Tell us who you are and what you used to do for One Life Left.
Well, my name is Adam, and these days I am a surgical neuroradiologist, or as you call it in the UK or in most of Europe, interventional neuroradiologist. And if you'll believe it, I've only started practicing this year after 17 years of post-secondary education.
Wow, it's been
a fun journey, and here we go. And yeah, the podcast, I used to contribute back in my early days of medical education. And what I did is I presented various misadventures that would befall video game characters if they had to obey by the laws of the universe. So as I recall, my first ever segment was about Master Chief taking realistic fall damage and shattering both of his femurs. We had a similar sort of episode with Ezio from Assassin's Creed 2, and then various other things. Some gastrointestinal distress that Kirby encountered from endless consumption. Things like that. So really, really great fun segments over the years. And yeah, it was a total joy. Why did I stop? Because things just got too busy, which is just so sad to say. But
maybe you just covered all of the injuries that video game characters could possibly have ever had. There was no point just going over old ground. I mean, it's mostly the same. They mostly get shot or their heads are jumped on, right?
That's true. I did start going far afield. I think I covered some kind of silicone breast implant rupture for Lara Croft and started to have to get quite creative. So maybe after all this time, they've reaccumulated. But it's really nice to be back. And yeah, I think practicing in some ways gives me a bit more free time. And in some ways, far less. But
Are you still playing games?
I am playing games, but I have to, by law, save that for the reviews section, I think.
Well, no, I was just interested, actually, whether if you continue to play games, do you still think of that feature and wonder how some of these characters could survive some of what they're going through? I'm talking specifically about Resident Evil 8. Have you played that?
No, I haven't.
Crikey, goes through a lot.
Is that right? Okay.
I mean, there is some backstory about how he can survive having his hand cut off and then put back on. but I don't imagine that's something that, is particularly realistic.
No, certainly not. Progressive dismemberment, that would be good. But we have solutions these days. We're just getting better and better at that.
You stopped with us, but you picked up on another podcast recently, have you?
That's right. I'll be tasteful in my plugging, but I do appear with reasonable frequency on Slow Pit Stop at Slow Pit Stop on Twitter, which by sheer coincidence is also based in England. So Manchester-based podcast, but the three of us are all from different countries. So the host is in Manchester. The other guy is Mohammed. He's in Buffalo. Host is Arafat, and I'm the third of the medics hailing from Canada. And it really is just a total Formula One nerd fest. So if you're into F1 and you're worried about getting into a podcast full of jocks, first of all, as I'm sure you've divined by now, I don't fit that bill terribly well. So no need to be afraid. There's even a spinoff on the non-race weeks where we do a Dungeons and Dragons version of Formula One, where we roll various stats to try to win the races and engage in parallel capers. And so I think it's the kind of thing that you'd only really get if a bunch of dweebs, inside or outside of medicine, ended up having a Formula One podcast. And it's such a joy. So as fans will know, the final race was today in Abu Dhabi.
Who won?
That's Max Verstappen of Red Bull Racing. Spoiler which I notes. Think is, yeah, spoiler tag, which I think upsets most English folks. I don't know if you have any strong
well,
feelings.
Well, because of what happened last season, Adam.
Yes, indeed. Sure.
Well, actually, to be fair, that wasn't necessarily Max's fault what happened.
It was entirely
season, was
not
it?
Max's fault. You know, since then, he's been a little bit petulant and selfish. But I think that, you know, in many ways, you look at the age of the average Formula One driver. Max has been on camera since he was 18 and is now, what, 24 or something? And honestly, if you had the camera trained on you that often, you'd probably also say some pretty embarrassing things.
Oh, we don't need the camera trained on us to do that. We do it every week. We've known it for 17 years. I have a... You said earlier, Adam, because you're better at this than we are, that you should save your reviews for the review section. Now, already we've covered a review in the news section. So clearly we don't care much about that. And I'm going to break protocol now by doing a letter before we get to the letter section, because it's one specifically for you here from Zuba. Regular contributor writes, "Hello, team in SSG. It's great to hear from Adam again. What was Adam's favourite moment from his contributions in the past?"
Oh my goodness. My favourite moment. Well, it probably had to be when I laid hands and even maybe lovingly stroked that beautiful Glass Games Media Award at the Christmas gathering.
Yeah, but
where is it?
And meeting Craig the Rage McClellan, I have his book. I was unmistakably starstruck. 64 Bits of Pain, as I believe it's called. The man is, literally is a poet, so no need to say figuratively, but really is a wordsmith. So that was very special. And as regards contributions, that's a really tough one. I think the science behind cryo injury in the Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat segment was a particular favorite of mine, but gosh, it's hard to choose. It was so much fun doing this.
Well, Zubair goes on to ask, did he have a feature he nixed or something he wished he had done? Love the show, Zubair.
Well, I think I would need to have meditated on that a little bit more.
That's the answer. A meditation 5 minutes.
I think at some point I had contemplated doing one with Sonic and Tails where the culmination was the revelation of their long surmised romance. And I don't think I found a way to not make it gross. Which I think is probably on brand and maybe what the fans deeply crave, but I didn't need that tied to me.
I tell you what, you'd do some numbers on fanfiction.net if you did that.
Wouldn't you just?
That's right.
There's another old One Night Left contributor in North America, isn't there? Do you ever hang out with Odds on OD?
Is Odds on OD in North America? I thought for sure you were going to end that sentence with Matthew Kumar, who's in this city and is now a Canadian citizen.
Also true. Odds on is elsewhere, isn't he?
I can't remember which part.
He's definitely. You should hang out with him and talk sports.
Yeah, he's also got a D&D podcast, I think, as well.
What? Oh, our children grow up so fast, don't they?
Gosh, Odds On, what a segment. That guy, does he really sound like that? Because he's just such a bad... Nah, he's going to romp on home. He was just such a badass. I absolutely loved it. I'm allowed to say tush on Resonance 104.1.
You are, yeah. FM. And you are allowed to say stronger words at the beginning of the show as well. But we will come back to that. Adam, is there any chance that you'll return with any ad hoc features, one-off Christmas specials?
I suspect that I will. It's only a matter of whether you'd like to hear the same sort of special or whether I should do something new. can decide offline. We can even have listener feedback as to what you'd like.
Why not take over the whole show? 55 exactly. minutes. We'll just drop in as guests from now on. Seems like the way to do it. Phasing out over the next, 25 years. Adam, thank you so much for coming on. You're going to join us, stay with us for the rest of the show, aren't you?
I will. I will indeed.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, now it's time for the proper letters section.
Email, messages, and forward BCC.
One Life Letters.
Chris Conroy writes, Dear Team and SSG, here we go then, time for another global event, bigger and flashier than the last one. Every detail pored over and unpicked on social media. The specialist and generalist media are frothy head of manic excitement, while the whole thing continues to maintain an undercurrent of grim employing conditions and corporate greed. Yes, it's the sales season. Aha! Can we get an insider's view into the way that digital sales work? How do companies like Nintendo or Steam decide what goes on sale and what doesn't? Is it their choice or the developer or publisher? Who decides the price, and do the creators get a share of each unit sold? Or is there some kind of level break? Sell this many units and we'll give you this chunk of cash, that kind of thing. I'm guessing a lot of this isn't widely shared for commercial reasons, but interested to hear what Simon can tell us. Your contractually curious correspondent, Chris Conroy. He then adds... Companies like Steam just lock me up and throw away the key. Your Valve votary variety. Wrist one more. It's a good question, Chris. Yes, it is the sales season, isn't it? And I've already spent £25 sti on the Steam sale. The Steam sale hasn't even started yet. there's a Namco Bandai sale on at the moment, and I've picked up a couple of bargains already. The Steam sales have changed over the years. There used to be a huge event. There used to be flash discounts running every 24 hours, but now they've settled into a regular cadence where I think there are four sort of store wide sales every year. We're about to hit the holiday sales. Not Thanksgiving, guys. It's certainly not in Canada. It's called the holiday sale. It coincides with Thanksgiving and Black Friday. And then it goes into the winter sale, which is Christmas, or holiday, confusingly, if you're in America. And then there's the spring sale, which used to be the lunar sale, and then there's the summer sale. All of these are opt-in, so publishers choose whether they want to participate and by how much. And then outside of those, there are specific cooldown features. Valve is... I think they've just extended theirs to games can only go on sale if they've been off sale for 30 days. And if you're interested in pricing, and certainly in the AAA space, if games that tend to come out in October or September, don't buy them until Black Friday. Gotham Knights is already 30 to 40% off. It's been out about 5 minutes.
Wow. Is that an indication of how well the game is doing, or is it just literally that release cycle from that date?
I suspect in this instance that discount is a little higher than it sort of naturally would be, because it does feel very soon to be to be discounted that deeply. So
I haven't heard any good news about that game, so that tracks, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's fine. 7 out of 10. But yeah, FIFA is super discounted. All of the AAAs that have come out now have got decent discounts on them. The indies tend to be a bit more cautious. Plate Up is going to be 30% off, guys. Tomorrow, if you're listening on the radio show, or yesterday, if you're listening to the podcast. And that's our biggest discount so far. But yeah, on Steam, you are free to discount as frequently as you like, as long as there are specific cooldowns between them. That is the same for most other console stores. However, there is one where you need to be invited by the platform holder to take part. And I'm not sure what those conditions are. They vary per sale. There'll be indie specific sales, there'll be theme sales or what have you, but with one of the console platforms you need to be invited. They generally don't set discounts themselves, but they can recommend additional featuring if you're above certain thresholds, but always the choices with the publisher and the developer. And yeah, usually the payment is a percentage of what it's sold for. So that generally won't change during sales. It will change during bundles and stuff. But that's a different topic, Steve. Different topic.
It is.
Come on to that next week.
Well done, Simon. I genuinely, as I said earlier, asked Chris to post that in the letters inbox because I wanted to hear your answer. It's always interesting to have you teach me stuff live on air. A couple of letters from the Discord, which you can find a link to in the show notes that our Undercaretaker uploads to onelifeleft.com every week. Dear team and SSG, writes Morgeezy, no review has ever resonated as much with me as Simon's Uncharted review. Good to hear, isn't it?
It's good to hear. So good to hear that we read that one out last week.
Oh, did we?
Yep.
Ah. Okay, apologies. Well, it's worth repeating twice. Was your review really 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. All right. How about this one? This is from Electric Leo. Hello, team. I worked all day up to free up the time so I could watch live. I was very excited to see you, but I am disappointed by the quality of your faces. The cameras are fine. It's your actual faces. Thank goodness your words are good. Love the show again, Leo.
Leo, why are you working on a Sunday?
Maybe he meant, you know, doing the kind of social obligation work that we all have to.
Those things.
You know what I mean? Freeing up time.
Leo's in America. It'll be all family. It'll be Thanksgiving on Thursday, all that sort of stuff, won't it? What have you become, Leo?
What have we all become?
I miss
not
you.
Not allowed
I
to do
you.
Radio if you haven't got a face for radio. He misunderstands.
That's true.
All right. There is another letter here, Simon, but I'm scared that we did it last week and that I have no memory anymore.
Is it saying how excellent I am?
It's the one that says recommendations for the Steam Deck by the Sound Bomber.
No, I don't think so.
So I didn't think we had. Well, you can give some more recommendations we had. Dear team, I was lucky enough to be able to pick up a Steam Deck, and like any mature grown man, I was lucky enough to have permission from my wife to wait until my birthday to have it. So, with only a few weeks left, other than Simon's recommendation for Uncharted, which other games do you recommend I pick up to keep me entertained with my new toy? As always, keep up the good work, Matt.
The Spider-Man games are very... Well, sorry, I can say for a fact that the first one is excellent on the Steam Deck. Runs really well. I believe Miles Morales does too. Final Fantasy VII Remastered is fantastic on the deck. I finished Deathloop. I finished Jedi Fallen Order. There are a couple of the games that we'll talk about shortly. Also work on the Steam Deck. And all of those are likely to be cheap from Tuesday. So load up on your Steam wallet.
All right, that is the end of the letter section. If you've got any letters you'd like to send to One Life Left, you can do so by emailing
team@onelifeleft.com.
Or you can drop a note on our Discord. You can find the Discord link in our show notes. This is One Life Left on Resonance 104.4 FM. We are a video game radio show, been running for 17 years, and we are scheduled to run for another number of years. It's not clear
100 years
at this point how many that is. If you want to know more about the show, you can find out at www.onelifeleft.com, because we are a podcast as well. The podcast notes, as I said before, have been uploaded there by our undercaretaker and producer, Phil. Simon, do we have any other business that we need to deal with?
Not from my end.
I should say thank you to Oslo and to Helsinki, to our sponsors Knock Knock Games and Raw Fury and i3D for sponsoring our shows over two nights earlier this week. Monday and Tuesday I was in Oslo and Helsinki for two brilliant mariokis out there, and then last night did another one in London, in Stratford at Rule Zero again, and that was fantastic. Thank you so much to all of the people who turned up to cheer us on and to sing songs with us. We'll be doing a Christmas party on the 17th of December at Loading Peckham. Tickets will go on sale next week, so get ready for that. And Simon, try and keep that day free in your diary.
What was it?
17th. I think we had this discussion last week.
Okay, sorry.
Good. Time for the reviews.
Let's do it.
All right, we'll do it. We're doing it. Simon, what have you been playing this week?
Two games for me this week, Stee. The first, Somerville, I was really, really looking forward to. It's the first game from Jumpship Studio, which is founded by one of the co-founders of Playdead, who was the executive producer on Limbo and Inside. And the game owes much to that style of game. Somber, platformy narrative adventure, which was turning heads prior to launch and was shaking, had heads shaking after launch, sadly. It's a real shame because the atmosphere, the visuals, the sound in particular are all top draw. It tells the story of an alien invasion. You start playing various members of a family, something happens in the background, big earth-changing event, and then you must find out what happened or find out what's happened to you. All well and good with that, those sort of dark, flat, muted colours. But sadly, the game itself, which feels like a real modern interpretation of something like Another World, is a game of trial and error, clunky controls, and obscure interactive points. Really, there are many times where I just didn't know how to get off this screen I was on. Lots of instant deaths, and when you have to repeat the same sort of slow set pieces over and over again, it becomes more of a chore than a pleasure. This for me was this year's 12 minutes, and it was a game I was really looking forward to, but unfortunately made me too angry to finish. 7 out of 10.
Shall I do one?
Do one.
All right. I've been playing. Well, I completed the Golden Idol this week.
Okay. Congratulations.
A few One Life Lefts ago. Been knocking off a few chapters every week. And yes, yeah, absolutely brilliant, brilliant puzzle game. Feels to me a lot like a classic book puzzle or a newspaper puzzle, just with video game traits. If you liked Obradin, you'll love this. 7 out of 10. Really, really, really nicely done. As I said, I dropped out of Sonic Frontiers because I just don't think it's very good. 7 out of 10. But I have been playing A Little to the Left. Do you know about this, Simon?
I do know about this, Steve.
So I think I played a demo of this when it was on Itch, or if not, I played something very, very similar a couple of years ago. In A Little to the Left, you are presented with a series of vignettes, and what do you have to do? You have to tidy up. The name comes from the idea of hanging a picture on the wall and just moving it a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right until it's centered and perfect. And if that was in the game, and indeed there are puzzles like that, at that point when it was perfect, you'd get a little star and then you'd move on to the next puzzle. Some of them are easy and it just comes down to tidying and that kind of nice methodical sorting things out. Some of them are very difficult. There was one that I was looking at for ages until eventually I cracked it and it felt kind of satisfying. It does suffer sometimes from being a bit trial and error, but genuinely, when it works in a really, really satisfying way. Obviously, it fits into the the bracket of cozy or wholesome games, and it's making me feel a lot better about my life, which is quite intense right now. 7 out of 10. Adam.
Hey, I've been playing two games, and mostly just to be on voice chat and catch up with people who no longer live close to me or because I have no free time. And taking those in turn, first of all, I've been playing Overwatch 2.
Ooh.
And as you may know, this is a free-to-play, barely expansion pack for Overwatch 1 build as a separate game, where they've essentially taken out features, such as you can only play as 5 characters instead of 6 now on each team, which is bizarre for a game about picks and counter picks, but nevertheless, still controls very nicely. The new heroes are all fun, and one of them is Canadian, with a map of Toronto, no less, so that makes it quite fun for me. What's the big downside?
Does it go around apologizing all the time?
You know, she's actually an unapologetic tanky, and it's kind of embarrassing how military she is. especially because she's named after a black civil rights activist. Really just kind of discordant in tone there. But even more discordant is the fact that Overwatch, largely the studio has been all about inclusion. They always get their voice actors to be from the country they represent. Except for Sojourn, who is not a Canadian actor, actress, whatever we say. And it really shows. You can really tell by the way she pronounces things. And I'm shocked. As we know, Canadians all sound like Matthew Kumar, which is why this is the best worst game you've never played, 7/8/10. My second game, that would be Final Fantasy XIV. I've decided to start an MMO because why not? Finally, I have some moments where I don't have to do trainee work, and so I get to play and connect with a bunch of guys who never have consoles and are on PC, so that beautiful crossplay allows me to commune with gentlemen I haven't spoken to meaningfully in many years. That's been great fun. I'm a cute dragon girl, which is very important, and my spells are nice, my attacks are cool, the world is beautiful, it's ostensibly the best written Final Fantasy of all time, but I have yet to detect anything of the sort, and mostly just do the same sort of MMORPG fest quests that exist in every MMO. So hopefully that changes after level 30 or whenever it's meant to get exciting. 7/10.
Simon, you have another game to talk about, don't you?
I've got to surprise you here, Steve. Given all the awful things that this company is known for these days, I'm delighted to say that the Atari 50th anniversary celebration, which came out on PC and consoles, is excellent.
That does not surprise me at all, because it's by Digital Eclipse, who are excellent.
Excellent, yes. It's a collection of games that encompass 50 years, in inverted commas, of Atari, I'm scrambling around finding exactly how many games are on the collection. But it's not just the games, which range from the earliest arcade to modern interpretations of some of the old console and arcade titles, but an interactive timeline documentary which revisits the making of some of these games. It presents flyers and anecdotes and facts and vignettes behind the scenes of the games that I grew up with, and so it was a real joy. It works brilliantly on the Steam Deck. Yes, the emulation is top notch. The speed at which you can jump between games and features and stuff like that is super smooth. And whilst the games themselves are not worth playing these days, they don't stack up particularly well, I think as a museum piece, it's a wonderful job, and highly recommended if you have an interest in that game's era, or you want to know where the foundations of everything we do or how they were built. So yeah, thoroughly recommended. 7/10.
I've also been playing Frog Detective 3. If you enjoyed Frog Detective or Frog Detective 2, you will enjoy Frog Detective 3. Oh, I thought I timed that perfectly. It's a game where you play a frog, you're a detective, you go around and chat to wholesome animals and gently interrogate them about some missing cats. It's got a lot of words. Conversations might go on a little bit too long, but it's pretty funny and pretty warm, and it's probably the sort of game that you, yes you, need to play right now. It's warm. 7/10. The end.
The end.
That was good, Simon. We got a lot done today.
We did, didn't we? We got a lot covered.
A lot of reviews as well.
Helped by Adam. Thank you so much for joining us. So will your Formula One podcast be back for next season?
Certainly will. And we'll also be doing a little bit of post-season trivia contests. So come on in for the game show and maybe even some Donuts and Drivers, our D&D spin-off.
Aha! And where else can we find you? Sorry, go on.
Sorry, I was going to say, it is clever, that sort of idea of a D&D spin-off. And it makes me want to do one as well. But I don't know what we would... How do you spin the radio show off into D&D? Like, we could do a video game based on D&D. It doesn't work, right?
Yeah, I think it has to be about the toils, the travails of being a radio show in the era of modern media. It makes us just immediately sympathetic.
We do need more sympathy. We need more people looking after this. Sorry, go on, Simon.
I was just going to ask how else people can keep up with what you're up to date on. Are you still on Twitter, Adam?
I still am. You can find me. My last name is unspellable, so put it in the show notes. And
how do you spell that? Enjoy
UNSPELLABLE. And if you're interested in the minimally invasive neurosurgical and neuroimaging therapies, then by all means, give me a follow as you please.
Excellent. We will do. Well, thank you very much for joining us. Good to see you, Steve.
Good to see you as well, Simon. Thank you to Resonance FM, the greatest radio station in the world, for hosting us as always. And thank you to every single one of you for listening. We will be back next week. But until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.